Coppergate was the richest archaeological site that I've ever worked on. The occupation layers of the street front tenements were packed with finds, and hardly a day would go by without another discovery. Coins, strap ends, brooches, as well as all the wood and leather offcuts. Archaeologists are not supposed to be so bothered about objects, but it's hard not to get excited by finding something every day that has lain buried since it was lost by one of the Coppergate traders or craft workers.
These truly amazing finds impressed some truly amazing people who lent their support to a fundraising campaign to help carry out the extensive excavations at Coppergate. Magnus Magnusson, then one of the best-known British TV personalities, question master of BBC's Mastermind, led the campaign. His Royal Highness the Prince of Wales agreed to be a patron, and he was joined by Queen Margareta of Denmark, King Carl Gustaf of Sweden, the then Crown Prince Harald of Norway, and the President of Iceland, all enthusiastic to learn more of the Viking contribution to the origins of European urban life.
A large proportion of the finds coming into the lab were not immediately identifiable or attractive, many being fragments of corroded ironwork. Almost from day one, we established the principle that every piece of corroded iron would have an X-ray plate made of it, which, in most cases, would allow for its identification. We knew that hospital X-rays were the wrong type for metals, so for a couple of years, everything was taken down at regular intervals by train to the Ancient Monuments Laboratory in Savile Row, London, to be X-rayed with their industrial equipment.
One story comes to mind is when we have removed a skeleton from the site and, after removing all the soil from the excavated bones, attempted to dry the clean bones by laying out the skeleton in the basement that we used to use for doing paperwork and sheltering during snowstorms. Only snow and the occasional cloudburst stopped work, by the way, nothing else. One day, a young policeman came onto site to tell us that we shouldn't leave our milk bottles out near the site exit anymore. Now, Richard insisted that he see all visitors, and so the young Bobby was shown down into the basement. At this point, he saw the skeleton, nicely laid out with one arm behind a head and the other down by a side. This was how it was found on site, by the way. Anyhow, he came round after a bottle of smelling salts were wafted under his nose. He was convinced it found his first murder victim. Richard Hall used to have a saying when it rained, by the way. It's raining, it's splashing, it's time to go pot washing. He was full of those. The church opposite used to strike the hours, and at 8 o'clock on the last three strokes, he would always say, meditate, perambulate, and excavate.
Richard Hall had the habit of going for a tour of the site towards the end of each working day, getting an update on progress from each of the excavation assistants and writing up his site diary. I was working on one of the street front tenements at the time and was steadily trowelling my way down through the thin occupation levels. Richard stopped beside me and asked for an update. I started to tell him about the sequence of layers, but then spotted that he was standing on a pewter Viking disc brooch which had just been exposed on the surface. It survived the experience and is on display in the Jorvik Museum, minus the nick taken out of one corner where Richard's boot had come to rest.
I'm sometimes asked what the most exciting moment or find has been in my career. Well, certainly the most important object I helped to excavate, then conserve, was the Coppergate Anglian helmet, found by mechanical digger in 1981 at the beginning of construction of what was to become Jorvik.